also in Iraq. As far as development cooperation with Iraq is concerned, 800,000 euros will be channeled through the Danish Refugee Council to ease the situation of women refugees from Syria in northern Iraq. Finland is convinced that women's full participation is a priority in efforts to build an inclusive society. We have supported UN Women's project that increases women's political participation in Iraq with 500,000 euros. Further assistance is considered primarily to Syria based on needs and financing requirements, helping the region as a whole. The global threat of ISIL can be successfully countered only with a broad and inclusive coalition supported by the United Nations. It is important that the governments most directly threatened by ISIL have a prominent role in this endeavor. We welcome the U.S. initiative to build such a coalition to address the danger posed by ISIL. We also welcome the fact that the Security Council has voiced itself clearly on this subject and hope that the Council remains persistent in supporting the international efforts. As underlined by President Obama, success will not be brought about only by military means. It is also essential to build on a long-term comprehensive approach with a wide range of measures, including capacity building, humanitarian assistance, and actions to prevent terrorism and extremism. Finland is committed to participate alongside with the international community in addressing the threat of ISIL. We recognize the need to respond through military means. However, we are not planning to participate in combat actions or arms deliveries. Madam President, Finland is in favor of an active role for the EU in supporting Iraq. Support for capacity building to address challenges related to fighting a terrorist organization like ISIL should be further explored in the EU. Protection of civilians, as well as respect for international law and international humanitarian law, could form part of EU's capacity building assistance. Finland would be prepared to contribute. International assistance to capacity building of security sector structures is crucial. Finland could look at certain niche capabilities like chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear, provided an appropriate framework is available. We do attach great importance to addressing the issue of foreign fighters, and we are currently assessing our national measures, and we are looking forward to finding solutions in cooperation with the European Union and beyond. Thank you.
I thank Mr. Stenlund for his statement, and I give the floor to the representative of Saudi Arabia.
Shukran,
thank you, Madam President. First of all, I would like to congratulate you upon your assuming the presidency of the Security Council for the month of September. I would also like to thank you for having convened this important meeting and for the constant efforts you are making to support the people of Iraq, who are at a crossroads, a decisive crossroads which we hope will lead them towards stability, security, and prosperity. I would like to welcome His Excellency, the Iraqi Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Brahim Al-Jakari. And I'd also like to thank a special representative of the Secretary General, Nikolai Mladenov, for his briefing. We are pleased at the presidential statement to be adopted at the outcome of this meeting. My country is pleased at the formation of the new Iraqi government, and we hope that the final touch will be put to its composition in order to guarantee the inclusion of all and a political balance which will make it possible for them to respond to the severe crisis in the country. It is high time for Iraq to recover its strength, and the international community should provide full support in order to create appropriate conditions for the success of political reform and for the enshrinement of rules of justice and equality between all components of the Iraqi people. Madam President, since Iraq took its first steps away from sectarianism and to put an end to foreign intervention in its affairs and return to the Arab world, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has held out its hand to all sectors of the Iraqi people. His Majesty, the guardian of the two holy shrines, announced the amount of $50 million in assistance to the Iraqi refugees and displaced people. Sectarianism, Madam President, as well as oppression and repression are factors which created fertile ground for the proliferation of transnational and even transcontinental terrorism. And ISIL is one of the prime examples of this. ISIL's terrorist barbaric crimes have nothing to do with Islam, which is completely removed from this. Madam President, I wish to convey the words of King Abdullah bin Abdelaziz, who alerts the international community to the dangers of transboundary, transnational terrorism. We need a collective vision and specific goals which will guide the efforts to overcome terrorism. Rapid action taken by the government of Saudi Arabia, which called for the Jeddah meeting a few weeks ago and issued a statement after the meeting, are the expressions of our determination to resolutely continue along this path. We thank Secretary of State John Kerry for the United States' role. Madam President, in order to respond to the so-called Islamic State and other groups which use religion as their reason to exist and to propagate terrorist thinking, to counter this, the Zulemas and other Islamic teachers condemn the thinking of ISIL and its adherents and financing its acts as a crime. This is the content of the statement made by the Council of Ulemas on the 14th of September of this year. And I quote, terrorist acts perpetrated by certain groups such as ISIL, Al-Qaeda, rights holders, Al-Haq, Hezbollah, and the terrorist actions of the Israeli occupation and the terrorist criminal acts perpetrated by groups belonging to Islam are all prohibited actions and are deemed crimes, end quote. The statement of the Council of Ulemas also prohibit entering the conflict zone and joining the insurrection. The instigators of these crimes are criminals themselves. They are leading others into error, and they should be punished. Madam President, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia was one of the first states to work against terrorism in order to extirpate its root causes. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia was one of the victims and targets of terrorism. Let me point out the support that my kingdom gave to the anti-terrorist center of the United Nations to the tune of $100 million. The Garden of the Two Shrines has called on other countries to make donations to this to the counterterrorism task force, which is one of the most important bodies to combat this scourge. Both this august, as long as the August Council and the organization do not have a comprehensive strategy which goes beyond the manifestations of terrorism and attack its roots, all efforts to counter this scourge will be in vain. The persistence of the Israeli occupation of Arab territories in Palestine, Syria, and Lebanon is also one of the factors that have contributed to the development of terrorist thinking, which justifies itself by fighting occupation. Sectarianism and fundamentalism are other factors that contributed to the emergence of ISIL, as well as the war machine of the Syrian regime, which continues to commit crime after crime against the Syrian people. This has all created a vacuum which terrorists quickly stepped into. Terrorist actions should be tracked, and we should work to counter these actions and to put a stop to the prime source of all of this violence, the Syrian regime. ISIL and the Syrian regime are but different sides of the same coin. Concerted action should also be based on the support of the on supporting the legal Syrian opposition, represented by the Free National Coalition, in order to make it possible for them to respond both to ISIL and to a regime which tries to feed this these forces and make the most of them for their own purposes. My country will continue to make efforts to stand by the Iraqi people and to help this kindred country to retake its rightful place in the Arab world. Thank you.
I thank the representative of Saudi Arabia for his statement and now give the floor to the representative of Lebanon.
Shukran, Sayyida Raisa.
Thank you, Madam President. As our present cannot be separated from the history of the land of Mesopotamia, our common future is equally connected to the present of Iraq. And this is by no means an exaggeration. In every one of us, there is a part of Iraq. Yes, in every one of us, there is a part of Iraq. If today we eat what we harvest, it is because mankind discovered agriculture between the Tigris and the Euphrates. If today we have treaties, constitutions, and laws that govern our relations, we cannot forget that the oldest code of law known to mankind was that of King Hammurabi. And if today we acknowledge the importance of science, reason, and culture for the progress of humanity, we must recall the role of Harun al-Rashid's Abbasid capital, Baghdad, in hosting scholars, philosophers, and artists with all the diversity and richness of their productions. Madam President, today Iraq is in danger, and that which threatens it endangers our future, the future of our countries, peoples, and societies. A wave of blind terror has indeed invaded parts of Iraq. If we do not act quickly to end it, it will spare no one inside Iraq or outside it. For it does not recognize countries, nor acknowledges their borders, nor accepts their institutions. It is barbarism that knows no religion, no ethics, and no values. Even though it pretends to be Islam and hides behind its precepts, Muslims are innocent from such. It is an obscurantism in its war on modernity and civilization and in its aggression against human rights and human dignity, as well as in its denial of the principles of freedom and the concept of difference. Madam President, Lebanon appreciates the role of your august council in adopting Resolution 2170 and in today's presidential statement. Lebanon calls upon you to remain united in order to advance further with what it takes in international positions or resolutions in order to mobilize the resources needed to eliminate Daesh and other similar terrorist organizations and to keep terrorists from escaping punishment and holding them accountable for their crimes. As you surely know, a successful elimination of terrorism cannot be limited to military operations and financial measures. Though important, it requires a comprehensive political, economic, and social approach that would reach it in all of its roots. We welcome the formation of a new Iraqi government that confirms the policy of openness and national unity. We expect that your distinguished council will provide it with all the support needed to be successful in undertaking its functions. We take this opportunity to reaffirm that Iraq, with a sound national unity, which safeguards its national, religious, and sectarian aspects, is not only a richness for itself, but for all Arab and Muslims, and indeed for all of humanity. Madam President, Lebanon, which has suffered and still does from terrorist acts, the latest of which is this morning's attack against its armed forces in the area of Ersel after the kidnapping of a number of its soldiers. Lebanon stands steadfast with you, as we supported you in Jeddah and in Paris in our common war against terrorism. It is the war that requires you helping my country by supporting its armed forces, economy, and its national institutions. I thank you, Madam President.
I thank the representative of Lebanon for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Poland.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Thank you for giving me the floor, and please convey our thanks to Secretary of State John Kerry for organizing this meeting. I would also like to express thanks to Special Representative Nikolai Mladenov for his detailed and very useful briefing. We are seriously concerned about the evolving crisis in Syria and Iraq. Extremists lead a brutal campaign of terror against the local population and especially ethnic and religious minorities, including Christian minorities. Poland has been involved in stabilization and assistance mission in Iraq since 2003. In those days, we helped Iraqi authorities to restore peace and security in provinces of Karbala, Babil, Arkadasia, Najaf. So, of course, we condemn Islamic State of Iraq and Levant terrorist activity, which includes hijacking, tortures, and brutal killings.
We also take note of the growing number of internally displaced persons and refugees. We call for free access of humanitarian assistance, especially for the most vulnerable groups, women, children, disabled persons. We call on the Iraqi government to do its utmost to protect civilians, including the members of the ethnic and religious minorities. Crimes committed by terrorists in northern Iraq should be investigated by international criminal mechanism in order to hold accountable those responsible for the crimes and violations. Madam President, the terrorist structure known as Islamic Caliphate possesses a direct threat to international peace and security, which demands urgent response from international community. The unprecedented growth of ISIL and spread of extremism in all its manifestations, especially in the form of sectarian tensions, and has negative consequences for the security and stability of the entire region of the Middle East and beyond. We are participating in the efforts to help Iraq, to help civilians in need in the region. On August 17, just 2 days after the EU decided to support Iraq in their fight against ISIL, the first Polish Hercules transport plane delivered 8 tons of assistance to northern Iraq. We have also founded facilities for newly created school in Erbil for refugee children. The Polish Minister of Foreign Affairs awarded the numbers of scholarship for Iraqi students at our university. And we will continue, of course, delivery of humanitarian aid. Madam President, while reaffirming Iraqi's independence, unity, territorial integrity, and sovereignty, we welcome the establishment of the new Iraqi government. We are certain that it will be a government of national reconciliation that represents interests of all Iraqi citizens, regardless of ethnic and religious divisions. We pledge our support to Iraqi people and Iraqi authorities, and hope that they will be able to restore public order and rule of law, promote the intercultural and interfaith dialogue, and preserve extremely rich cultural heritage of Iraq. International coalition formed at the meetings in Jeddah and Paris deserves our recognition and support. We are aware of the fact that a strategy to combat ISIL cannot limit itself to the military operation. It requires preparation of a plan of political solution, both with regard to Iraq and Syria. Our common efforts should help Iraq to fully reintegrate into the region and international community. Thank you very much.
I thank the representative of Poland for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Albania.
Thank you very much, Madam President. And let me thank you and Secretary Kerry for calling this meeting on one of the most pressing current challenges of international peace and security, and for the invitation to take part. Like the rest of the world, we are shocked by the terrible actions committed by terrorist groups in Iraq, and the most notably by the so-called Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, ISIL. Since months now, wherever ISIL fanatics have set foot, terror has been the norm, brutality the method, and the massacre of innocents their footprint. Their actions have caused heavy human casualties, including children, the displacement of more than 1 million Iraqi civilians, including forced deportation under the threat of execution, and the threats against all religious and ethnic groups. Albania condemns in the strongest terms all terrorist acts of attack committed by terrorist groups and organizations in Iraq, including and especially by ISIL. Madam President, ISIL represents a real, clear, and present danger to Iraq, to the countries of the region, and the wider international peace and security. We cannot, the world cannot stand by when ISIL fanatics massacre entire villages, when they attack Iraq's religious minorities and destroy their places of worship, when they threaten the integrity of and sovereignty of independent countries. We cannot remain silent when this scourge marches through borders imposing its obscurantist oppressive rule. It must be said and highlighted, ISIL is in no way representative, nor is it in accordance with the mainstream teachings of Islam. It is instead a disgrace to the faith it proclaims to defend. Countless Islamic groups around the world have vehemently rejected ISIL and their abhorrent actions. And they are right. ISIL is simply an abomination to Islam. They are mere terrorists, ruthless assassins ready to slaughter whoever stands in their way. Madam President, a direct threat to Iraq and Syria, ISIL is also a threat to peace and security at large, a threat to human values and life, to our common civilization. The adoption by the Council of Resolution 2170 was a first step in the right direction, but there is urgent need for a bolder action. We welcome the presidential statement adopted earlier this afternoon. We applaud in particular the firm stand taken by the United States, as outlined by President Obama a few days ago and Secretary Kerry this afternoon here, as well as the actions taken by other partners and allies. It is for all these reasons that Albania has, from the very beginning of the crisis, joined the international coalition to fight and eradicate ISIL. Albania has welcomed and has taken concrete steps to support the new Iraqi government in its fight against terrorism, and it remains committed to continue to engage and provide both military and humanitarian assistance. We have already contributed in the fight against ISIL, providing a sizable quantity of weapons and ammunition to the armed forces of Iraq, and we will continue to help Iraq in the future. Let me also recall the particular assistance Albania has provided to the refugees of the Huria Liberty Camp. Few might know that since the appeal of the Secretary General 2 years ago, out of some 377 transferred refugees, Albania has accommodated 240 of them on a humanitarian basis, which is more than the double of the total number of those absorbed by the rest of the world. In concluding, Madam President, terrorism has become a challenge not only for one country or for one region, but for the entire community of nations, and it will take a resolute and a joint effort to deter and finally defeat it. This is, in our view, the only way to deal with a global phenomenon, which is fed by distorted religion, poverty, and ignorance. It is the best way to restore hope, peace, and security in all affected regions. Albania is and will be part of this joint effort, and I thank you.
I thank the representative of Albania for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of New Zealand.
Madam President, New Zealand thanks you and Secretary of State Kerry for convening this very important debate, and I place on record New Zealand's continued and deep concern about the situation in Iraq. Like others, we have been outraged by the brutal actions of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. We've been appalled by the loss of life, the large-scale displacement of innocent civilians, and the widespread abuse of human rights, all of which deserve the strongest condemnation. And we have been shocked by the resulting humanitarian crisis. Since June, New Zealand has made two humanitarian contributions through UNHCR, referred to earlier by Secretary of State Kerry, to assist those displaced by the violence in Iraq. We commend the efforts of those in the international community who have been providing relief assistance to people in greatest need. And so it is, Madam President, that New Zealand takes this opportunity to express solidarity with the people of Iraq as they deal with this crisis. We specifically offer New Zealand's support to the newly formed government of Prime Minister Abadi, and we welcome his stated commitment to an inclusive government which will be fundamental to addressing the root causes of Iraq's recent internal challenges. Madam President, the New Zealand general election takes place tomorrow, Saturday, New Zealand time, and that imposes constitutional limits on our ability today to respond further and in the manner of some others. But even within those necessary constraints, we welcome the determination of the United States and others to address the global threat posed by ISIL and the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Iraq. And we particularly welcome the support that effort has received from regional players, including the Arab states. An effective response must have the support of those in the wider region, and if it is to be enduring, must recognize their legitimate interests, not least the concern voiced by the United Arab Emirates that ISIL might provide a safe haven for terrorists. In the end, as emphasized earlier by Saudi Arabia and Lebanon, the evolution of ISIL must be seen as the result of much broader dynamics and causes which reach beyond Iraq and which are relevant to the entire region, which means that in responding to the specific threat posed by ISIL, the international community must take account of the impact in the wider region. Madam President, against that background, New Zealand remains committed to offering utmost political and humanitarian support to the people of Iraq as they face these grave challenges.
I thank the representative of New Zealand for his statement, and I give the floor to the representative of the Syrian Arab Republic.
Shukran, Sayyida Ra'is.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to join colleagues who've thanked you for having convened this very important meeting. With the presence of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the United States, or the Secretary of State, regarding the situation in Iraq, I'm pleased that Mr. Al-Jafari of Iraq is here, as well as that Mr. Maladyanov is here. We hope that the Iraqi authorities and the brotherly Iraqi people will make efforts that will lead to success, so as to retrieve peace and security across the country, and so as to put an end to terrorism and combat it, Madam President. Some speakers went beyond the agenda item under consideration. That is the situation in Iraq. That is what was on the agenda. They spoke about the situation of my country in an erroneous manner, and in a very provocative one, in particular, when they talked about the combat against terrorism of what is called ISIL. I was very interested to hear the preliminary statement of Mr. Kerry. In hearing this statement, I did hear balanced wording, one which reflected the importance of the challenge in Iraq and the region. And here I'm talking about terrorism and the threats posed by ISIS and other terrorist organizations in the region. Some other statements, unfortunately, attempted to divert our attention from the crucial issue at hand today, and that is the support to be provided to two governments and two peoples, Iraq and Syria, so as to combat ISIL and Jabhat al-Nusra, as well as other terrorist organizations affiliated with these two terrorist groups. And this, in line with 2170. The war in Syria and Iraq against terrorism is a single war against the same enemy. The victims in both countries are the victims of one terrorism, a heinous one. My country's government is an active participant in combating terrorism against ISIL and Jabhat al-Nusra. We have undertaken these activities unilaterally within Syria over the past 3 years. We always emphasize the importance of counterterrorism and putting an end to its financing. As well as combating terrorists who come to our country from other countries of the world. We have also stressed the importance of accountability with respect to countries and states who support terrorism. Today, we are extremely relieved, as the international community has acknowledged the facts which we have continually transmitted to the Council and to member states within the United Nations. We've always spoken of terrorism, the existence of terrorism, incitation to terrorism. We have stressed those governments supporting terrorism and the media, which only supports terrorism. The fatwas, people who claim to be ulemas and who support this terrorism. There are indeed training camps for these terrorists. Some of these camps are in neighboring countries. Moreover, some attempt to mask the identity of those who support terrorism. This international awakening, Madam President, in combating ISIS, and rather ISIL and Jabhat al-Nusra, is a matter of relief, even if it's a late awakening. And thus, we'd like to reaffirm that any international effort in counterterrorism must be based on the full respect of the charter provisions and principles of international law, and in particular, upholding the sovereignty of states. Thus, there's a need to coordinate upstream with the Syrian government in the framework of any credible efforts to combat terrorism. In conclusion, madam, the combat against ISIL, an effective combat, requires combating its ideologies. Ideologies which are based on the obscurantist Saudi Wahhabit ideology, which was the source of extremism in the Arab and Muslim world. I would like here to recall that there are thousands of Saudi terrorists who joined ISIL in Syria and in Iraq, terrorists who have perpetrated the attack of 11 September, who were, for the majority, Saudis and not Syrians. In addition, the ideas of bin Laden also came from Saudi Arabia. I'd like to reiterate that the events which are shaking the region are the result of collusion between Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Qatar, which undermines the future of the region. Thank you.
I thank all the speakers who have participated in today's meeting, a very productive meeting. There are no more names inscribed on the list of speakers. The Security Council has thus concluded the present stage of its consideration of the item on its agenda. The meeting is adjourned.